Lyerly Show. I am your host, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and today we are diving into the intersection of politics, community, and culture right here in Northeast Wisconsin. I am thrilled to be joined by my friend, State Representative Ahmad Rivera-Wagner, who's not only fighting for Wisconsinites in Madison, but also deeply and beautifully connected to Green Bay, including the vibrant culture, the arts and music scene that makes our community so special. The Packers, of course.
Go Pack, go.
I saw your email the other day. I was like, hey, that's me. Yeah,
listen, what we are is diehard Packer fans. And I can't imagine that this first game of the season was just what we've all been looking for. So I was...
The weather.
The weather was gorgeous.
The outcome.
The outcome was fantastic.
Micah Parsons in that sack.
His first sack... And he's been with the team, what, 2 weeks?
I know.
3 weeks.
It was amazing.
Oh, it was great. I mean, love, just like spreading the love everywhere to all the different receivers. I mean,
I love that his name is Love.
I do. I do too. I was like, oh, this is meant to be. Like, it's just, it really was a really great game. And just the joy that people had for the season and the optimism that I hope infuses everything. But it was nice to see how hopeful our Packer fans were just about the season, about the moment. And what a nice thing in this world that sometimes feels chaotic and cruel was this really joyous moment. So very pumped up about the season.
We live in such a special place.
Yes.
People here really, like, we love the Packers, but even people who aren't sports people understand what the Packers mean to this community.
Correct, yeah.
You know, they are the economic driver. They are the glue that pulls us together. Right. They are the reason that we all wear green and gold on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Yeah, right.
People don't know. I'm always like, you know you have to wear your green and gold on Fridays. And they're like, what's that? I was like, how do you not know? They're like, that's what we wear on Fridays. You can see the outfits in Green Bay, green and gold on Fridays.
I've got a section in my closet. Really? Same. When I worked at Bellin, that was part of our thing. Like, as a physician, we didn't wear scrubs on Fridays. We wore green and gold.
That's right. What I love the most about the Packers is that it's the values that makes them so dynamic, right? That there is a sense both of community and commitment to this community. And that shows up all the time. It's why you can walk onto Lambeau's parking lot and go to literally any tailgate. It's why...
And you're welcomed.
Right.
Like, total strangers will be like, you want a beer?
Right. You want a brat? Like, people are just... it's so natural because it's who we are. And the idea that that can be something like an NFL team can also reflect that everybody that comes here, one of the things I liked about Micah Parsons talking about is the warm welcome he received. That despite being
joyful, like his face looked so happy.
He was quoted afterwards saying, I have never had a feeling like that than walking onto Lambeau Field. And I was like, I know the same feeling too, right? And I'm not
every day because we live here.
Right. And I think that that's what people miss sometimes about Green Bay, whether it's its politics or its sports teams, that there is a deep sense of community here, a deep sense of neighborliness here. And it shows up in all these iconic ways, from sports teams to arts to farmers markets and your next door neighbor. These are just places that we become friends and family, even if we don't know one another. And so that's what I love about Packers, kind of encapsulating that energy. And so the kickoff to the season was just a perfect symbol of all the things I love about Green Bay football, food, drinks, beer. It was all the things that I wanted.
You are like the poster child for Green Bay. So wait, let's back up a little bit, because some of our listeners may not be acquainted with who you are. So Ahmad Rivera-Wagner, who are you? And how did you get elected to be a state representative here in Green Bay? Take it away.
Well, I will say my journey into Green Bay is different than my journey into politics. My journey into politics was, I was raised by a single mom. She had me at 16. We were homeless for the vast early part of my life. We went in and out of shelters. My mom at one point had an abusive partner. But what changed our life was two things. One is a program called Habitat for Humanity. And for those who may not know what that is, it is a program where you build the house from scratch with perfect strangers from all different backgrounds, where you don't ask them who they voted for or what faith they are. You ask them, do they want to make a difference? And so I built with perfect strangers the house that my mom still lives in to this day. And so that really shaped what I believe about power and community, hope mm-hmm. and promise. And the second is my mom was a home healthcare aide. She went into people's homes and helped people with physical or mental limitations be able to live their best lives. And she was unable to get a living wage in that job because it was ununionized. Mm-hmm. And so one day we literally Googled. At the time you could Google that and get really good results. and SEIU came up, Service Employees International Union. Mm. And 18 months later, we were able to organize a union for my mom. And she had the largest living wage increase that she had ever had in our lives.
Wow.
And so that is what got me into politics, right? That there are ways and powers that people have to shape their lives and that government can be a force for good. It can encourage people to have living wages and minimum wages and rights to organize. It can make housing more accessible. It can create hope for families that are experiencing abuse or children that need a meal at a school or during the summer. And so in my life, I've seen, yes, government be something that's bad, but at its best, it's something that takes care of people. And so that's what got me into politics. What got me into being a state rep is I married the son of dairy farmers. And uh-huh. so my husband.
Wonderful. I love your husband.
He works in the medical profession. His family still has a farm in Middleton, a dairy farm. They still bring me vegetables and asparagus and tomatoes when I'm up in Madison to drop off at my office.
Oh, that's so cool.
And so we ended up coming to Green Bay. We could have gone a million other places. We thought we were coming here for a job interview and to check out the Packers. And then we realized
and now we're back to the Packers.
And now we're back to the Packers. And then on the plane ride home from after the interviews, we're like, we're gonna move to Green Bay, Wisconsin, aren't we?
Uh-huh.
And 3 months later we were looking for a home in this community. And so I was the mayor's chief of staff for years. Randomly introduced myself as he had just gotten elected, said, I have this background. I've worked at all levels of government. I spent a career being a public servant. I'm passionate about making government work for folks. Do you have an opening? A couple months later, he did as a community liaison. And then about 6 months after that, I became his chief of staff. And so I've had the best front row seat into making government work for Green Bay residents mm-hmm. From building more housing, to creating a conservation corps, the first ever in municipal history, to the largest community-led housing development project, to helping us make services work better for the community. And the mayor and so many other people said, well, we'd love to extend that kind of public service approach, centering love in this community uh-huh. to state office. I thought they were crazy.
Well, because it's totally different. I mean, if you're here in Green Bay, you're focusing on Green Bay.
Right.
But if you're a state rep,
right.
You are focusing on the people of Wisconsin, but representing Green Bay.
Right. Well, I also wanted to change that a little bit too, where uh-huh. I think you, by serving the people of Green Bay and modeling what's possible, we can create legislation that benefits every Wisconsinite, right? Mm-hmm. From postpartum protections, from expanding Badger Care to building more housing, that what we are doing in Green Bay is something that should be exported to across the state. And we're doing that regardless of political affiliation. We are finding ways to rally people of all different backgrounds to solve the challenges of our day. And that is why I ran. So I ran to make sure that we build a state legislature that works for everyone, but doesn't forget places like Green Bay. Mm-hmm. Because whether you're a liberal or Republican, it's very easy to forget that the world exists outside of Madison and Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. But for us, it's our entire world. And so I'm trying to do a little bit of both, that not bring Madison to Green Bay, but the vice versa. I want to bring the community, the heart, the love, the collaboration, to Madison, which needs a little bit more of that.
It does.
And so I want Madison to feel much more like local government mm-hmm. than for local government to look like state and federal government. Mm-hmm. And so that is what I ran on. We won. It's been really, really exciting and just proud. It is truly an honor to represent a community like Green Bay, the most racially diverse district in Northeast Wisconsin.
Really?
Yes, one of the most economically diverse districts in all of Northeast Wisconsin.
Uh-huh.
So to me, it is truly an embodiment of everything I care about, which is how do we build housing, healthcare, and a quality of life for everybody, regardless of when you show up, how you show up, what language you speak, mm-hmm. how do we make everybody thrive? And so it's just been an honor to represent this community.
What has surprised you the most making that transition from focusing just on Green Bay to focusing on Green Bay within the state? What surprised you?
You know, and again, this is just politics, right? At mm-hmm. the end of the day, sometimes I'm shocked at how insular politics can be.
Yeah.
That if there isn't a push to be more reflective of the communities you serve, of the issues they're worried about, the language they're speaking, it's very easy to be caught up in the drama of Madison, right? It's,
Well, I think anywhere you are, the greater culture tends to consume all of the smaller cultures within it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so I always joke with people that it's so funny to me. The most surprising thing is that sometimes people talk about statewide politics as West Wing when it's really Parks and Rec, right? And so the truth of the matter is, I think we would all be better if we were the more Leslie Knopes of the world, and that we thought about what these outcomes are, how does this show up for everybody? So that would be the most surprising element, is that there is a level of self-importance that is somewhat removed from the everyday experience of the people we represent. But I think what's really exciting about that is that there's room for change, right? There's possibility for us to be more engaged, to demonstrate that it's more possible to be reflective, that we are not as divided as Madison would tell us that we are, that we aren't as misaligned as we operate in statewide politics, that truth be told, that we don't get to do a political litmus test whether you need more housing, right? Or that you want to change careers, or we want to keep young people in this community, or that the earth that we have and the air we breathe is something that we all share, or the water that we drink. These just aren't as divisive issues outside of politics. And so how do we change that? So I think I was even caught off guard at how easy it is to pick a side and pretend that, that picking the side is the point of politics versus solving the problem. And so surprised by it, but it has doubled down for me to be different by being the exact person I am every day in Green Bay and making sure that person and that work shows up in Madison.
And you are so good at that, at coming back home and integrating yourself in the community. Everybody knows you. Everybody wants to talk to you. Everybody wants to, you know, show you the cool stuff that they've done and to get your ear so that you can represent us better in Madison. And you do that.
Yeah.
So what are you focusing on legislatively right now?
Well, what I want to just really talk about, why I'm so proud of the way that we're operating as an office. So we've had over 400 meetings with individuals, constituency groups, highlighting nonprofits, other
You haven't even been in office for 400 days.
We have not, but yeah, we've only been in office. That is right. So we've had 400 of those. We had 14 public facing events, town halls, roundtables, office openings. And I've introduced 10 pieces of legislation that I've authored, ranging from holding billionaires accountable for trying to bribe in our elections, to creating more housing, to funding veterans' homelessness or ending veterans' homelessness.
Right.
And so I'm just really proud that it can look different. It's not just words, but that we operate really differently. So my real focus is really on housing, really improving the housing stock, housing availability, and affordability. We need to make sure that everyday people have access to the lives that they want, and the cornerstone of that is housing. The second is we have too many predatory practices around finances in Wisconsin. You can charge up to 600% for a payday loan in the state, and that's completely legal. And so I'm working in a bipartisan way to actually rein in, for the first time, predatory lending.
That's wild. We're going to talk more about some of those specific issues after we take a short break. And we're going to talk about our local music picks. All right. So you're listening to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I'm here with Representative Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner. We'll be right back.
Close my eyes, cause I know I'll have to open them up in the morning.
Sometimes Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I'm Dr. Kristen Lierley, and I'm here with Representative Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner. We're talking about all things Green Bay. I was really compelled to whistle there. Ahmaud, you picked the music.
I know. So one of the artists that was just featured is a band called 7,000 Apart, and it's an amazing Green Bay story.
It's such a Green Bay story.
Two artists met at Preble High School. One was an international student from Sweden, and one was a local boy. So I understand this very much so, right? And they met in high school, fell in love, and then they, one of the partners left back to Sweden, stayed connected, and found both love with each other, and then created a band that they came together. And they've been playing, and their name of their band is 7,000 Apart for the 7,000 kilometers. Mm. They were apart as they were making a long distance relationship.
And this was during COVID, right?
Absolutely during COVID, right? And so what's really cool is they came together, created this band. They're this amazing couple. They played at the mayor's State of the City.
Oh, yeah.
So they were featured here locally, an absolute joy to work with. And they spent some time here, and then they went together as a band to Sweden, where they she became the voice of a Disney princess.
No way.
So she was singing for a Swedish version of a Disney movie. And one of the other reasons they went to Sweden is that there was an ecosystem for artists to be able to kind of get their feet wet and help them from the entrepreneurial standpoint. They are recently back. They go back and forth because they don't want to leave Green Bay, Wisconsin. And so they come back from Sweden about half of the year. And so they're playing locally. I think they're going to be on All Bands on Deck, which is going to be around this weekend. And they've played at other musical festivals right here in town. And they're an absolute joy. But to me, the idea that you can build both an international brand, find love, mm-hmm. and not want to give up coming back to a special place like Green Bay, mm-hmm. to me is a Green Bay story.
Yes, and you talked about the ecosystem in Sweden, and I remember back in the day, there just wasn't that much music here. It's come a long way.
Oh, absolutely. And so they're not even, you know, there's a multitude of other artists that are coming here, that are starting here, all kinds of genres of music. 7,000 Apart is kind of a more poppy band, but there's mm-hmm. other folks who are doing R&B and soul, rap.
We're going to feature another band with our next segment.
Country. There is like rising Latino bands that are doing both from mariachis to bamba. And so all of this is happening in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and all over the state. But it's really kind of a cool thing that the diversity of our community, including our music taste, are all kind of showing up here in this community in mm-hmm. a really fun and exciting way. And one of the things that the 7,000 Apart had met with the mayor's office to talk about is how do we build an arts-based culture that allows for arts to thrive?
Yes.
Right. And how can they not just start here, but live here and thrive? And that is about both affordability, mm-hmm. but also access. Are mm-hmm. there affordable music studios? Are there ways for us to center arts more collectively? Are we paying artists living wages? And what does that look like? For example, we just had a program at my community office opening where we tied in SAGE, which is a local arts organization who's doing something called social prescribing, which is using art for mental health, well-being, and community connectedness. And one of the things that you do is that you actually pay an artist living wage, and they will come to any event, any space, and do activity that helps with mental health, mental well-being, and community connections.
Social prescribing.
Yes.
It's not like giving somebody a drug. It's like giving someone love and creativity and inspiration.
Absolutely. And they take it from the medical community.
Oh, yes.
As a prescription uh-huh. for connection, uh-huh. right? And saying that we should even integrate this idea that you can do mental health using arts as a way, as a essentially a medical treatment. Obviously, it should not be solo medical treatment. It should not be the only way that you treat your ailments.
But neither should be a drug that you are given.
Correct. I mean,
it needs to be a holistic approach. And I think so often our medical system forgets that you are a product of the environment from whence you came. Right. And that includes art and theater and music and beautiful paintings all around town. Right. And I mean, there's so much more to Green Bay than the Green Bay of old.
Right. And in many ways, what I think we're doing is coming out, right? Like my joke is that Green Bay is like coming out. It's coming. It's like in its coming out era. We're coming out as a place for fun, for music, that there are young people and people who are young at heart. There are people who are retiring and want to retire in Green Bay. There
are people, it's a great place to retire, right?
There are people who are starting families and starting bands and musicians in Green Bay. There are tech companies that are starting here. And there are people who are still doing farm to table work here.
Yes.
Like Green Bay is really coming into its coming out era of like, we can be all of these things and we can be affordable, we can be accessible, and we can welcome everyone that shows up as they are. And I love that about this moment that we're in.
How is that reflected in the economy?
So you see that like Green Bay, unlike a lot of the other parts of the economy, we are still struggling, but we have one of the lowest unemployments, not only in the state, but in the country. So typically it is under 2%. But we still know that people are not getting the kind of wages that they deserve, that people in Green Bay may have a job, but they also might have two or three. Mm-hmm. And they're still income insecure, meaning that they're spending often over 30% of their income on housing stock. That is not the way it used to be in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. And so we are sometimes absorbing these national trends where it still requires some people to work more than one job to meet their cover their costs, including the cost of childcare, that housing is becoming inaccessible at every income level, even here in Green Bay, and that ultimately the benefits that people need, particularly the cost of healthcare. We are healthier generally in Green Bay, Wisconsin, but when things are happening, the high cost of healthcare is preventing people from getting both preventative care and the care that they need, even in the city. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of bills that I'm working on. So even though we are doing better than most, we still have room for improvement to make sure that people's everyday economic lives improve and that we cannot let Green Bay lose its affordability and its blue collar roots.
That is the number one thing that people are concerned about is the cost of everything. Right. And you are clearly focusing on that. Representative Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner, we're talking all things Green Bay. When we come back from our break, we're going to talk about more politics stuff. Who's running for governor? What's the impact of Trump's economy? So much more to talk about. Yeah. You're listening to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show.
Lights out, darkness creeps into your mind, and now you can't see.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I'm Dr. Kristen Lierley, snapping along with my friend, Representative Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner. We are talking about all things Green Bay. If you missed the beginning of our conversation, you can always find it wherever you get your podcasts. YouTube, Apple, Spotify, Substack, all the places. And you can always find me streaming here on the Civic Media app and at WGBW and WISS every weekend. Ahmaud. That was Pegasus.
I know. So another cool local band.
We just can't leave music alone.
I know.
Right now.
So, Pegasus was founded by three young women. Preble High School folks. So maybe there's a theme here. What's really cool about Rissel, who's now the lead singer, is she came here as a child, as an immigrant. And so... she's now, recently got her citizenship. This is years ago. Uh-huh. And she's gotten really actively involved in her community. But one of the most beautiful stories is that she came here, came to this community, loved it so much as a child, and then took the time to become a U.S. citizen, which is an arduous process.
Yeah.
And is still staying in this community, producing music, traveling and touring worldwide. I think they're on their fourth album, I believe, that they're releasing. And they have this beautiful, soulful.
It's like a genre-defying sound.
Absolutely. And they are just also a joy to be around. They are fun. They are interesting. And they also realize that, as new citizens, particularly Rissel, that there's a commitment to being engaged in this community.
Yes.
And so they have asked questions. They have shown up. They have gotten involved. And I think that's the most beautiful thing, both about this country and about this community, is that the on-ramp for you to get involved can come from the music you listen to, the way that you showed up in this community, in this country, and that you love what it has, but you also know that we can live up to a bigger promise that it hasn't got there yet. Mm-hmm. And I think that soulful, wonderful music is also an on-ramp into getting to know people in our community and how they get involved. They also played at the Mayor's State of the City 1 year. And so, it's really nice to have these, two bands that I think have these unique Green Bay stories, but they're not, ironically, they're not that unique. Green Bay is a story both of migration and staying, right? That from first settlers to the Oneida Nation to the Hmong community to French and Polish and Russian folks who found this place to be their home and have stayed here for generations, that is what makes Green Bay special, that we all have a story about how we showed up here, even if we didn't start here, and how we grew where there was fertile soil. Mm-hmm. And so, I just love that their music is great. It's interesting. And they, to me, reflect that Green Bay story.
Mm-hmm. And the culture currently and the future. Right. Of the future.
Right. And they're, yeah, I guess I hadn't thought about that too. You know, they're youngish, right? Yeah. And so, like,
ish? What is that? They're young. They're very young.
I don't know what the cutoff is anymore. People are telling me, like, I'm an elder millennial. Then they call me a boomer sometimes. So I never know which one I am by the youngin. So, and so they're younger than me. I'll put it that. They're younger than me.
You're not a boomer.
I try to explain that.
You act like a boomer sometimes.
I do. I'm, you know, too much internet. But what's nice is that they are tapping into what's been old, which is a mm-hmm. sense of community,
yes.
the sense of place, that these are things that we believe in, that they want to be in a place that's affordable, that's accessible, mm-hmm. that they want to build families here. That is what Oak Green Bay has always been. What's new is that they're tying in both their culture, their language, their style. Mm-hmm. And isn't that the best way when we remix all of our values without changing them, but add enough alchemy to bring the magic of new people is just yes. wonderful.
It and is so, wonderful, but it is something that we are also seeing suppressed
yes.
on a federal level. So yes. I want to pivot because yeah, I promised we would talk about politics.
That's right.
Okay, first, let's just get this out of the way.
Yeah.
Wisconsin governor. We've got two declared candidates now.
Officially, that's right.
Officially, yeah. So Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez right. and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley.
I have a super, super quick story for both of them that I just, it's nice to see what's going to be an amazingly diverse suite of candidates for governor.
We have never elected anybody other than a white man for right. governor of Wisconsin. And it may surprise you that we have also never sent anybody except a white man to Washington, D.C., except for two people. Tammy Baldwin.
That's right.
And Gwen Moore, who's a congresswoman from Milwaukee.
See that, and I just think it's going to be just even diversity of thought, right? So
yes.
like, one of the things I love about Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez is that the reason she got into politics is that during the first Trump administration, she was a nurse doing some work. She married someone with a Mexican background mm-hmm. and had a wonderful young child. During the first Trump administration, there was this rise of anti-immigrant sentiment that's often based on skin color. Uh-huh. And so her son was worried that he would be deported even though he's a U.S. citizen wow. because he is part Latino. And so what she decided to do in the face of that wasn't cower, wasn't to hide, wasn't to compromise. She said, well, let me run for state assembly mm-hmm. in a district that's being currently represented by a Republican and a gerrymandered map.
Yeah.
And then she won.
Yeah, give me a challenge. I could do. You know, she's also a former CDC information officer, right. so she would go and investigate these outbreaks, which is how she met her husband right. in the first place.
Yeah.
So, and she ran during COVID. We actually turned in our nomination papers at the same time. Oh, so we've known each other since we were two healthcare providers running for state
and
assembly.
And she's just a joy. And I think that she matters is. That people with the courage of their convictions, not just I need a platform, not that I'm important, but there's mm-hmm. important things to do, like making sure that children who could be the victims of rhetoric that we're even seeing now
yes.
in the second Trump administration, that makes them feel like they don't belong.
They're her kids. Like, she's Lieutenant Governor right, of right. Wisconsin, and he's worried.
Right. And so, and who, when she announced for governor, people made racist comments about her partner, mm-hmm. Talking about that he should be deported as well, right? Mm-hmm. But she leaned into, we're going to be better and we can do better. So I think that's really, really powerful and really love that about Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. And then County Executive Crowley, he was a lead champion for increasing shared revenue. I know this sounds super nerdy, and I know that some
it
people...
It is. You might have to define shared right. revenue.
So shared revenue is the kind of money that we receive from the state.
All pay into this.
We pay into this. It used to be something that was tied to inflation mm-hmm. and that every city would get some money from the state government. Under someone around the Walker administration, they just stopped giving us more money mm-hmm. and put it at a flat amount. And in some ways costing cities upwards of $20 and $30 million.
Because cities' expenses continued to go
correct.
Up.
For public safety, for fire, all the things that you rely on for infrastructure. And so this thing called shared revenue is that they would take the revenue and share it so that there wouldn't be an over-reliance on property taxes at the municipal level. Mm-hmm. Those were held frozen for nearly two decades. And so County Executive...
So they were defunding the police.
100...
I'm just saying, the state government, the Republicans in state government, were defunding the police.
We were not funding any services, including mm-hmm. our police departments that were growing to meet the needs of various communities, and they would not step up and get into that space, mm-hmm. right? And so I always find it ironic that certain people are accused based on gender, race, and political affiliation that they somehow aren't pro-police, when us in the local government had to find a way to actually fund them. Mm-hmm. And we were not getting help in allyship in the state gerrymandered state legislature that was run by the majority party, which was Republicans and still is Republicans.
So much better said than the way I said it.
Shortcut and accurate. I just wanted to. County Executive Crowley went across the state. Mm-hmm. And worked with Republicans and Democrats, came up to Green Bay during a Packers game, talked about the shortcomings and how we need to fund our public safety, our public services, worked with people across the aisle to help us get past mm-hmm. the largest increase in shared revenue that we had had at the time in history. That had been nearly 20 years of being held back. And so I just admire people who put the courage of their convictions to the test, that it's easy to talk a good game from a keyboard, from a platform where no one has to disagree with you. It is much harder to operationalize change. And both of these people who've announced are people I've seen operationalize actual material improvements in people's lives. And I think that is a beautiful thing. And I look forward to a robust and dynamic Democratic primary, because this is what people deserve. Candidates that care, candidates with compassion, and candidates that can get things done.
It's a great opportunity for people to learn more about these candidates, yes. and more will be forthcoming. Yes. So yeah, engage, learn. Right. There's a lot of work that needs to be done.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about the Trump economy.
Oh, geez.
How is right. the what we know is actually not a big, beautiful bill.
Right.
How is this impacting us here at home? Just as I was driving in today, I was hearing about the jobs report. Yep. The annual jobs report nationally just right. came out, and it shows that job growth actually is much worse oh, yes. than we thought it right. was going to be. The stock market is still chugging along, making right. record numbers.
Well, for the wealthy.
For the wealthy. Tell right. us about it.
So just to give people kind of a sense, right? While we have low unemployment, we often have what they call underemployment, which means that people are often, our most working class community is often working more than one job, mm-hmm. right? And in this economy, they're actually struggling. So not only has the minimum wage at the federal level hasn't been increased, it's currently
$7.25.
So is Wisconsin's mm-hmm. minimum wage, right? And so
that's for non-tipped workers.
Correct. For non-tipped workers, the minimum wage in Wisconsin, the federal government, is $7.20. Mm-hmm. Even if you are working, you are having to work multiple jobs to do that. We're also seeing that medical costs are just skyrocketing mm-hmm. for folks, especially after we've kicked nearly 175,000 people off of Medicaid and Medicare because of the federal bill that Trump backed that is now going to affect people in this community. And so there are actually going to be people who have less health care than they've ever had, even though they are elderly or children.
Yes. And we know, and as a physician, I'm yes. very tuned in with this. We know that insurance companies are already right. asking for premium increases across right. the board for right. everybody, with private insurance, public correct. Insurance, it doesn't matter. And the average increase is 18%
right.
for a premium increase. That even, doesn't include all the other stuff.
Correct. And that's even if you already have insurance by your
yeah.
employer. That's whether you're not in a category that would get government benefits. We're going to see premium increases for everyone. Single person because of cutting of the federal subsidies for the marketplace and for cuts in Medicaid and Medicare. And then on top of that, we're looking at food insecurity. So even mm-hmm. with the level of abundance that we have here, despite having farms surrounding Green Bay, Wisconsin, yeah. because of the cuts to SNAP, what we call here food share in Wisconsin, we have 17,000 people in Brown County alone that will have food access cut because of the SNAP benefits being either eliminated, reduced, or putting more red tape for people to have access to them. And so when you think of the top three things that people are worried about, the jobs that they have to work more for, the cost of health insurance, the wages that they cannot get back, and the food that they need access to, in every way they are suffering under this Trump economy, and that doesn't split right and left. Mm-hmm. These things.
No, it's how do you put food on your table?
Right.
How do you put gas in your car?
Exactly. And the good news is that we're trying very hard at the state level to intervene, but we also have a real challenge. The federal government has completely abandoned working people. And I remind folks that even if you're doing well and you're middle class now, we're one healthcare scare, one accident away, mm-hmm. one physical limitation from needing food share or needing Medicare or Medicaid or making sure that kids don't go hungry or seniors can live with dignity in the healthcare that they deserve. And so it is terrifying to watch a community like ours, ranked the number one place to live in the United States, having to worry, are we going to be able to even pay the people the wages they need to work the jobs to live in our community? If they get hurt, sick, or struggling, are they going to be able to get the healthcare they need? Or are they going to struggle to get food, even though we are throwing food away because of the way the federal government's operating? And I just don't believe that cruelty should be the currency of our federal government.
And in a word, are you hearing this already? Are people worried? Are they scared?
This is what I hear every day, that someone is worried that they're going to be next, that if they're a veteran, they're not safe. If they're elderly, they're not safe. If they're a child, they're not safe. That their jobs, their money, their supports are really going away.
All right. Well, this is heavy stuff. So when we come back, we're going to talk about light stuff. We're going to talk about hope and where we go from here.
Yeah.
All right. I'm talking with Representative Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner. This is Dr. Kristen Lierley, and you're listening to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show.
To reach for the stars, that if you were
this is the Dr.
Enough,
Kristen Lierley Show. I am Dr. Kristen Lierley, and I'm sitting here with my friend Representative Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner. We're talking all things Green Bay, including arts, culture, economy, the Packers, of course.
Yes.
Okay, we got to talk about something like light and hopeful.
Yeah,
because it got a little heavy there. So how do you stay connected with your constituents? I know you're all over the place. You've had over 400 meetings.
Yes.
You've introduced all this legislation. What are you doing here in Green Bay to give your constituents a place where they can go and reach you directly?
So this is a strange thing. It's both hopeful, maybe a little sad. So according to our rules and regulations for the assembly that are led by the majority party, which are Republicans, mm-hmm. assembly members cannot have district offices.
Oh.
So we are not allowed to have them. Now, if you know me, you know I'm not really good at following the rules. So
you find a way.
I found a way. And so what we decided to do is open a community office that I am paying for out of my own pocket so that it's not using taxpayer funds.
Uh-huh.
And so we have the only community office in the entire state of anyone of any party in the legislature. And so we opened last week with literally over 50 people showed up. And the whole goal is to have a space where we can have workshops, community meetings, have conversations. So as a perfect example, at the community office opening, we actually did a social prescription exercise.
Yay.
Where the politicians spoke very little.
Uh-huh.
And what we did is we built community, connected people, and we had them go through an activity on mental health, well-being, and community connection. And people left from all different kinds of backgrounds, knowing each other, making plans with one another, and being more positive, right? And so I think that even in the midst of chaos and cruelty, there is a way to create hope and optimism, because who we are cannot be stopped by just the politics that are happening at the national level.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, not that we've been here before, but it's not that the country, our state, and in the city hasn't had its dark days. And unfortunately, I wish we could always say that the story is one of always getting it right. But what's beautiful about this country, about this state, why in this city, is why our motto is forward. It's why the community owns a Packers team, is we find a way to communicate and connect with one another, to do great things with one another. And that is both the story of this country, mm-hmm. the story of this state, the place that built Earth Day, that created modern unions, that was one of the earliest first suffragette, mm-hmm. that was a pathway on the Underground Railroad, that created one of the best retirement systems.
Workers' comp. You have no idea until you start looking at, like, we're so modest. We don't talk about it. We're just Wisconsin, beer and cheese and Packers. But there's so much progressive legislation that we've passed here that protects the people. And it comes from our roots.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And all I keep telling folks is I get that the national environment is one that feels like you can't get anything done. That is not the only place that change happens. And in fact, all the best things that we've ever enjoy, from our social rights to arts and culture, come and start somewhere small. The biggest things start somewhere small. And what's more dynamic than in the town that has the smallest town that has the only NFL team in the country? starting small can make you do big things.
And that is owned by the people.
That's owned by the people.
It's our team.
It's our team. And so big things start small. And so I'm hopeful. And my other fun little, not some fun story, I'm not that old, but I'm old. But when I came out.
What is old?
I didn't have a marriage to protect. Mm-hmm. I came out and I could be fired from my job. I couldn't join the military, or it was at best, it was don't ask, don't tell, but even that wasn't working.
No.
And I could be kicked out or evicted from an apartment or rejected for my mortgage for loving who I loved. Mm-hmm. Right. No one thought that I could then end up living in Astor Park mm-hmm. with my dairy farming son, husband, uh-huh. With two golden doodles representing the coolest city, in my opinion, in the country. I couldn't imagine that at 18. But here we are, where those things are completely possible. And so the 18-year-old kid that came out could have never imagined the world that I currently live in. And that is why I am hopeful that even when it looks dark, I couldn't even marry the person I love. They considered politicians, including some Democrats, would say that by giving marriage equality, that we were allowing people to marry dogs and cows. And here we are, where we're defending it from the right and the left.
And Wisconsin played a big role in that as well.
Absolutely.
This is how you know you belong here.
Right. Tammy Baldwin actually put the legislation together that was bipartisan mm-hmm. legislation that protected marriage equality. And that was just 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Right. And so here we are.
And she did it in a dark time when you didn't think, when she put that legislation out there, I thought, are you crazy? Right. Like, we are so divided right now. Right. And she just pulled people together and made it happen.
Bipartisan legislation at the congressional level, which you can't pass anything.
Yeah.
And this is my reminder that hope is best as an action. Mm-hmm. And that when we live our truth, we fight for what we believe in, and we bring the community with us, almost nothing can stop us. And so I am deeply optimistic, because my life is one that feels impossible. That's only possible because of the people in it, the community I am in, and the place I represent. And it's because of that, I can't afford to be pessimistic.
Yes, that's so beautiful. And everything that you have done, from being the person you are, the person that people look to yeah. and admire and model, mm-hmm. and the person who goes out and brings people together. If people are interested in participating in your community office, how do they find out more?
So you can reach out to us on all social media outlets. We have both an official website mm-hmm. that you can get on the state legislative website. We have a campaign website. There's also information there, which is ahmadforgb.com. We have lots of social media. You can find us at Ahmad Air on Twitter, State Representative Ahmad Rivera Wagner on Facebook. We're at Air, AIR152 on Instagram. We are trying to find people.
Link all of these okay. things in our show notes.
we try to be where everyone's at, and we always take phone calls, we take snail mail. Our office and our community office is at 112 North Adams Street, right in downtown Green Bay, the former United Way across from Angelina's.
All that contact info will be available. My friend Ahmad Rivera Wagner, Ahmad Rivera Wagner, thank you so much for everything you're doing being here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Well, hey, everybody, I want to hear from you. Send me your ideas for topics, guests, music, whatever you want to hear. You can find me on all the socials too. Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Twitter, Threads, Blue Sky, Substack, pretty much everywhere. And if you missed any of our conversation today, you can always listen wherever you get your podcasts, including Apple, Spotify, and YouTube. We will see you next time. Throughout the years, I found out.